Welcome to Set for Life with Pastor Ray Jensen. You can find us at setforliferadio.com. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's listen from God's Word, verse by verse, on how we can prepare for the coming of the Lord Messiah Jesus, who died on the cross, so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for life if you give your heart and believe what he's done for you. You'll be set for life with your treasures stored up in heaven when you're through. You'll be set for life.
You'll be helper is very good. It's not a demeaning term. God himself is called a helper. Today, people are so hypersensitive over terms, and so I wanted everybody to know that being a helper is an honor. Again, it is another shared attribute of God himself as a helper. So Adam is about to get a helper. And how fascinating that this now is the first time that we've seen Adam's name. I was just reading before, he was always called man. Now he's called Adam all of a sudden. Well, the animals get a name. Well, what's the man's name? Right? If he's special and the animals get names, well, the man surely should have a name. So his name is Adam. Genesis 2 and 21. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Okay, so we have a written record of the first marriage ceremony. I think this is great because I've conducted marriage ceremonies and it's nice knowing about the very first one that ever happened. And it was conducted by God himself. He married them together. Now, they had no desire to wear clothes at this time because at that time there was no shame. There was no shame because there's no sin. Man and woman, they were both sinless at this point. Can you imagine how perfect everything was? The gold and the jewels and the trees and everything grows real easy. He probably didn't have to pull weeds. He probably didn't step on thorns and mosquito bites and all that kind of stuff. Everything was great, and there's no need for any shame because everything's perfect. Man actually existed in this state at one time. This was a marriage, though. This marriage was complete, total perfection. Now, keep in mind that God did not make woman from another patch of dust somewhere else to be separate from man. She was not taken from a foot bone to be stepped on by man. She was taken directly from Adam's rib to be at his side as the helper that God designed her to be. So I want you to think of the fact that man even needed a helper in the first place. Oh, let me tell you, ladies, we men need help, okay? We do need help, especially this one right here. This means there are things that man lacked. Man lacked certain qualities that a woman would be able to provide. So their union would complete each other. God designed men and women both to have certain traits and lack certain traits so that when they came together, they would complete one another. Today, you've got gender confusion going on. Women trying to be men and men trying to be women. It's not going to work. That is not God's design. It was not meant to be that way. So, God said it was not good for man to be alone. This is why he said it, because man did not have everything. He didn't have someone else to love, and he didn't have the qualities that a woman would bring. So, the Lord God would complete him with this woman in their union. God made woman from Adam's rib, not from above, not from below, but to be at his side, made directly from him so that they could have an intimate relationship together. And no, contrary to popular belief, men do not have fewer ribs than women do. We all have 24 ribs, 12 on each side. Okay? Just putting it out there. So I want us to remember very clearly that at this point in time, everything was total perfection. Creation was perfect. Man was perfect. Woman was perfect. There was no sin. Everything was total perfection. But here comes the bad news, because in the very next chapter, every bit of this is going to get all torn up in sin. It's sad, because you just want to see this play out for centuries, don't you? I mean, I kind of do, but it doesn't. That tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that one tree that God ordered them not to eat from, well, guess what they're going to do? They're going to go eat from it. Eve first, and then Adam. And they're both going to fall from total perfection, taking all of creation down with them. Paradise lost. Everything is going to be gone. But they were given a choice. They were given a free will choice, and they're going to choose to disobey the Lord God in the next chapter. In the next chapter, man is also going to lose his perfect standing with God. He once had it, man. He was in. Me and God are like this, man. We're close. We're buds. And then all of that's going to be separate. It's going to be broken apart. And you remember the number of total perfection and completeness, the number 7. Let me talk to you about that for a minute, because 7 is complete. 7 is perfect. It's done. It's all there's going to be, right? Revelation 13:18 says, "Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. When you see 666, oh, that's the devil's number. Well, it says the number of man, too. Man's number is 666. That is the number 6 repeated 3 times for emphasis. Man's number is not 7. Man's number is 6. Why is man's number not 7? Because we lost our perfection when they sin at the tree and eat off that tree they were told not to. How did we lose that perfection? How come we're not a 7 anymore? Why are we a 6? Because Romans 3:23 says, "For everybody but Ray Jensen has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Some people treat me like that. That's why I said it. And I want y'all to hear how absurd it is. Of course I'm a sinner. For all have sinned. That includes me and anybody listening to me right now. You're thinking, well, I'm a good person. No, this includes you too. We're all messed up. We're all sinners and we fall short. I know a lot of people, they think they're perfect. Some people think they are practically gods themselves. Well, I can run my life the way I want to, my way. I don't need God. They think they are God. But man is not God. Man is no more God than 6 is a 7. 6 is not a 7. We're not perfect. Now, through history, Jewish thinking had adopted the idea of 7 being a complete week, to having the 7th day as a Sabbath rest. God worked 6 days, as we saw, and he rested from his work on the 7th. So man works through the week. He rests on his Sabbath day of rest also. But friends, I want you to understand, we are spiritual beings. That's what we are. You're not a physical being. Today, everybody concentrates on the physical. You got to look good. You got to be thin. You got to go to the gym. You got to have such biceps. You got to have the makeup. You got to have the clothes. That's all the outside stuff. No, hardly anybody's thinking about what we're really made of. We are spiritual beings. We need a lot more than just physical rest, more than a physical Sabbath. We need a spiritual rest. We need Jesus as our Sabbath spiritual rest. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." There's your Sabbath in Messiah Jesus. There's your 7. You don't have perfection in yourself. You don't have peace. You can't get peace. You cannot feel at peace in yourself. Now, a lot of people are looking for peace in money. They're looking for peace in all kinds of things except Jesus. You're not going to find it. Jesus is your rest. Now, the new nation of Israel, back in Moses' day, they held the creation account with a lot of great theological significance. Remember how God brought creation out of disordered chaos and darkness. Remember, it said the earth was void and there was darkness and it was all scary. It was all, everything. He started creation. It was just this terrifying place the world was. But God brought everything into a blessed order. Why? So that you and I could live on it. God brought everything you see, heaven and earth and all the universe that was all in chaos form. He brought it down to order for you and me. God moved heaven and earth for you. Who are we to go, I don't know if you can get me through this, God. I don't know. He moved everything for us into blessed order so that man could live in peace with his God. Likewise, Israel was brought out of the chaos and the darkness of slavery in Egypt, and they were brought into a blessed order in their own promised land so that they could live in peace with their God. And they, just like Adam was, he lived in peace before his God as a servant. And so knowing how God created all things, and not only knowing did God create it, but he also brought it down from its wild and void disorder in such a way where man could live on it. Then Israel could now think on these things and know that their God is someone they can trust. Friends, I hope you're catching the idea. When you step out there and look at the world and go, oh gosh, everything's so scary, what's going to happen to us? Oh, this government, oh, this economics, oh, the money, oh, all these people trying to do. So what? God made this earth with your purpose in mind, the purpose he has for you. Don't be scared of that stuff out there. He's got this under control. God can be trusted. If Israel could pick that up from the number 7 days a week, every week you should have your reminder, you can trust the Lord your God. Look at Psalm 62:8. It says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Selah means pause and think about this. I mean, I like how they built a pause into the verse. Stop reading. Don't just run on and read the rest. Think about this for a minute. Trust in him at all times. So think about that God can be trusted. God put all creation together for us to live on this earth with a purpose in mind for you to fit in. You ever feel like you don't fit in? Maybe you're trying to fit into places God doesn't want you to be. Maybe that's why you don't feel like you belong there. Say, Lord God, where do you want me? I just feel like where I'm at. I don't feel like I fit in. He'll lead you. There is purpose for your life. I'm going to say that again because I have lost friends because they felt like they had no purpose in their life. I'm going to tell you from God's word, from the promises of God, there is purpose for your life. Well, I don't know what it is, Ray. Come talk to me. We'll talk about it and we'll pray together, okay? Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God made you. Direct workmanship. That's the purpose that God has made you to have. Your life has purpose because we are his workmanship. However, I do want us to remember that we are earthy. We're earthy. We're made out of dust, okay? Yes, I have purpose. I'm perfect. I'm wonderful. Now, don't get too prideful in that. Remember what you're made of. I just called you all dirt. You're all going to quit and leave and go somewhere else, okay? We're earthy. We're too earthy to start thinking that we can be gods ourselves. I know so many people, they feel they have no purpose, and that's because they're not concerned with the purpose that God has for them. They are rather more fixated on their own purpose that they have set for themselves. We have to remember that we are a 6. We're incomplete. We are not a 7. We are sinners. God is not. You're not God and you never will be. So give your life to Jesus and let him take over to fix what you can't. Matter of fact, that thing you're trying to fix that you've never been able to fix, he has the answer if you'll just let him have it. Those who dream of being able to fix and run their own lives themselves on their own terms are falling for the exact same temptation that the devil is going to put to Eve in the next chapter. That if you eat the forbidden fruit of that one tree, then you will be just like God. For all the people out there, I can command and conquer my own destiny. You're falling for the same temptation that Eve is about to have with Adam and bring the whole thing down. You are not God. Stop trying to be. Friends, God has provided for man everything he needs. God has provided for you everything you need, and He's given it to you free of charge. And so the only way that curse can outweigh blessing in your life is if you choose the curse. Don't go shaking your fist at God. You picked it, and so did I. We're all sinners. And like Adam and Eve are going to lose perfection, we all lost perfection because of sin. I want you to see 1 Peter 5 and 10. It says, "But may the God of all grace who called us," thank God He called us. Hey, y'all come here. He called us. "Who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus after you have suffered a while." Look at that word right there. Perfect. Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. He's going to bring you out of chaos and bring you into perfection. But you got to choose to let Him do it, because we're already a mess. You got to choose to follow the Lord. But guys, isn't this good news? We lost our perfection to sin. But Jesus Christ, through Him, He offers us a way to be perfected again, not by anything you do, but through Him. And that perfection is only going to come through Him. This is how you can find God's purpose for your life, by submitting your life to Jesus. We sinned. We broke God's law. And God's law demands a stiff penalty for what we've done wrong. The stiff penalty is that we die for it. But God sent Jesus to die in our place, to die for us on the cross, so that through Him we can be saved, brought back to perfection again, and be given a new life of eternity, complete with God's purpose for us, all wrapped up in one package, and it's all absolutely free. Now, that'd have been a humdinger if He made us pay for it, as we couldn't have paid for it. But it's free. I mean, guys, how much better does this get? You can just have it for nothing, free of charge, back to total perfection, the way God intended us to be. Now, I want you to think about how Eve was made suitable for Adam. She was fashioned suitable for Adam. For that to happen, she had to be made from Adam's rib. In other words, she had to be made of the same stuff that Adam was made from. That's why God took the rib. Look at 1 John 5 and 1. It says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." The same stuff is born of God. If you're a believer in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're born again, making you, so to speak, made of the same stuff that God is. What is that? God is a living spirit. He is a spirit. And so for us to have an intimate relationship with God, we also need to be made of a living spirit. God will grant you that if you choose Messiah Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He will make you a new living spirit, the same stuff, so that you can have relationship with God, just like how Eve was made of what Adam was from to have relationship with Adam. I'm thinking about when Jesus was talking to that guy Nicodemus about how to be saved, and Nicodemus didn't understand it because Jesus said you have to be born again. Nicodemus goes, "Well, that's impossible. I can't be physically born again." And Jesus is like, "No, I'm not meaning physically." Jesus told him in John 3 and 6, He said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." Okay, you've already done that part, Nicodemus. You can't do it again. "And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." So He was saying, you got to be born again spiritually. You're already here in flesh, but you got a problem. You need to be made of the same stuff that God is if you want a relationship with Him. So you've got to be born again of the Spirit. Now you can be the same stuff. God wanted Eve to have a perfectly compatible relationship with Adam, that she had to be made from what Adam was made of. That's why God made her from Adam's rib instead of another patch of dust somewhere else. She was made directly from what Adam was made of. So Father God wants us to have a perfectly compatible relationship with Him. And that's why God sent His Son, Jesus, in a human flesh body to die and pay for the sin penalty that was out to kill us. And then God now sends His very own Holy Spirit to make us new like Him and living. 1 Peter 1:23, "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God." In my spirit, I'm made of the same stuff as God. I have a new living spirit, and that's how I can have relationship with him. I'm so glad of that. But this is why Jesus said we have to be born again of the Spirit, because for us to be able to have relationship with God, we got to be made of the same stuff that he is. Eve was created from Adam's rib. We are created new from God's Spirit so that we can have an intimate relationship with him. Aren't you glad that God put all this work in for us? So we saw Adam and Eve's wedding. I imagine that must have been nice. You know, people decorate their backyard and stuff like that. Can you imagine these trees and gold and emeralds and stuff? That was a wedding. First wedding. Now, let me show you a future wedding that's going to outdo the one we just read. And I want to show you who Jesus is going to be married to. Okay? There's a wedding coming up. Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints, which are the believers. Who is the bride of Christ? Us. We who believe are the bride of Christ. We got a great wedding day coming up. I'm excited. So the church, the assembly of believers who trusted in the Lord instead of ourselves, who relied on his perfect purpose for our lives, this is our future wedding to Jesus. But to be fashioned to Jesus, you got to be made of the same stuff. God raised us up from the dark void of sin and fashioned us to be in a relationship with Jesus for our perfect rest, for a marriage of complete, total perfection. Friends, you want to be married to the Lord, which means you want to be saved and live in heaven. You've got to say, Lord, come in and fix me. Lord, come in and make me new. Give me a new living spirit, and he will do so. It works like this. Say with me, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. Lord God, I fell. You told me not to do it, and I did it. And it was my choice. It was my free will decision, and I regret it. I'm sorry that I did it. Lord, I can't fix my life. It's too much a mess. Lord, I need you to come and put into order that which is void, that which is waste, that which is in turmoil. I need you, Lord God, come and put it in order because I can't do it. Lord, I want to be fashioned to you, to have relationship with you. Lord, give me that new spirit. Give me that same stuff that you are so I can communicate with you. And I thank you for it. I give you my life, all of it. Not some of it. Lord, take over that huge problem that I don't know how in the world am I going to get through this. It is too big. Lord, it's destroying my life. I'm depressed. I'm hurt. I just don't see any purpose. Lord God, you take it. You fix it. I don't know what to do. And I trust in you. I trust in you that you can fix it. And so that's why I give it to you. Take over. Repair what I can't. You have already paid the penalty for my sin that I can't pay. I take you up on that. Thank you for making me new and giving me eternal life. I believe in you, Jesus. You rose again from the dead. And because you rose again, I get to rise up with you. Thank you for such a wonderful free gift. Total perfection.
Thank you for listening to Set for Life. We hope you can join us next time, unless Jesus returns for us first. Set for Life is the radio ministry of Pastor Ray Jensen. We invite you to subscribe to our podcast at setforliferadio.com.
Hi, this is Ray Jensen. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to encourage you in God's Word. If the Bible doesn't excite you, then you're not reading it. I want you to remember that you are not worthless. You are priceless. Messiah Jesus died on the cross to redeem you so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for life.